Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea, Season 2, Electric Boogaloo. Is that funny?
Yeah.
That's a funny thing?
No, that's good.
Okay, great. Yeah, this is the second season of the long-beloved pseudo-game show podcast hosted by me, Nate Regolia. Each week, I subject my guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. With me, as always, is Shannon Page. Shannon, how are you?
Hi.
Hey.
I was trying to figure out if I could work House 2, the second story, into the first episode of our second season.
It's
but
still not lupus.
You need a different house.
All houses are the same.
I like that you took it there, though.
Yeah. I mean, anytime that we can get Hugh Laurie on the show. Hugh Laurie, tweet at us. All right. You good?
I'm good, Shannon? I am great.
Okay.
I'm excited.
All right.
I'm excited.
Welcome to season two. Can you believe it? Can you believe we've come this far?
I know. It's pretty crazy. I can't believe that we got through our anniversary episode, to be honest.
Yeah. No, it's fair. That was quite the ordeal. not in a bad way. It wasn't like, you know, crossing the desert or something, but it was an event.
It feels empty
it
with just three of us now.
It is. It's kind of quiet in here. Yeah. It could actually go back to being the very murder basement that we alluded to on the anniversary show. But we're not going to murder my darling, lovely wife and local Denver business owner of iHeartSkin, iHeartSkinDenver.com. It's Jenny Leisure Regolia. Hey!
Hi.
Hi. Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm well.
Good. Well, let's make this as awkward and weird as possible. So it's like it's almost like we never talk.
It's already there.
Good. mission accomplished then. Somebody put a banner up on an aircraft carrier. I am ready to declare success.
I don't feel like you usually talk to me in that sweet of tone of
voice. Oh, ouch.
Just kidding.
Well, hey, welcome back to the show. This is your second appearance.
Third.
It's your third appearance because of the holiday special that we did. Yeah, I forgot about that. It's kind of canon, I guess. It's still canon. But yeah, that was
like 2.5.
Yeah.
For me.
But yeah, welcome back. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show.
I'm glad
it worked out.
For season two, so.
Yeah. Well, you might be our most dedicated listener, too, other than me, because I have to listen to it. Shannon doesn't like to listen. But
I don't listen to it.
I'm a super fan.
But not like a swim fan, hopefully.
No, just a super fan.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, this week, to commemorate the second season of the show, the theme is seconds. And Jenny, since you're our special guest, you get to pick whether you want to go first by choosing 1 through 10, or if you want to defer and make Shannon pick.
I'm going to go with the theme, and I'm going to go second.
You're going to go second. Okay. Well, Shannon, it's to you then.
I will also go with the theme, and I'll pick number two.
Number two.
I was going to do that.
That was good. That was kind of like we planned it.
Yeah. You guys, I did see you guys commiserating before the show, and there was a lot of whispering, and there was a map, I think.
Yeah, a lot of texting.
And headsets with little microphones on them, and a wristband
this
with
is all
different
rigged.
Things.
None of it's real.
Yeah, oh yeah, this show is totally and completely scripted.
Well, isn't that would
fun?
Be sad.
Yeah, right?
I'd like to think that we could do a little better if it was scripted.
Yeah, no, if we actually put that level of effort into it, it could be very good, I think. I would hope. But yeah, Shannon.
Yes.
Number two is...
Wait, just a second. Okay, go ahead.
I get it. We're waiting a second. It's good.
I don't know.
That was good.
I don't know.
Shannon.
Yes.
We're back in form already.
It's like we never stopped.
It's like nothing ever happened. So, yeah. Do you have a vague idea about the second coming?
Sure. It has to do with Christ, our Lord, as some people might call him. Jesus, as others do. He was sent to earth to die for our sins, I think is what my grandmother told me once upon a time. I'm not very religious.
Yeah.
I don't really know, except that he's going to come back at some point, and that's what Christians believe. Other religions maybe don't believe in Jesus, or maybe they believe that he was a person, but he wasn't necessarily the son of the Lord. So this is, when I'm talking about the second coming, I'm talking about Christians, and that includes Catholics, or it doesn't. I've never really understood that, but they think Jesus is going to come back, and... I I don't know, make us all happy, take us all to heaven. He's going to have a bus. We're all going to get on it. We're all going to go to heaven. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure we all get gummy bears.
Something good is going to happen. Yeah. I think.
I think later it's something good might happen.
I think it's a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, very good. Very good. That's yeah. You hit a lot of points. Jenny, anything to add about the second coming?
Not a lot. I'm trying to remember some of this. So the second coming is also the rapture, if I understand correctly. So Jesus comes back, and first there's a lot of wrath, and then everybody gets to go to heaven if they make it past that part of things.
I can talk about the Left Behind series.
Oh, there you go.
Talking rapture. I don't remember Jesus being in that series, though.
But yeah, and then I think people...
Nicolas Cage is, though.
Use yes. the expression second coming to describe something that's really cool because...
Yeah, because it's a long-awaited return of, it's the second coming of Rambo, right? Rambo Last Blood.
Or as an insult, he thinks he's the second coming.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He thinks everybody's just, hanging out buying toilet paper in bulk for him.
yeah, that's all I got.
Okay, great. The second coming is sometimes called the second advent. Oh, it's Christian... and Islamic belief regarding the future or past return of Jesus after his ascension to heaven about 2,000 years ago. The idea is based on messianic prophecies and is part of most Christian eschatologies.
Well, I can tell you about the Left Behind books while you're
talk
reading.
Talk about Left. Yeah, get that going.
There's
going
to be a time when a bunch of people just disappear, and that means that they've gone to heaven. And then people are going to panic. And then somebody's going to show up and be like, let me help everybody. And everyone's going to think that they are awesome and that they are really helpful and that they are Jesus. But they're not. They're the devil.
Ah.
And then there's more stuff that happens. I didn't really get through the entire series. But I do remember that the person you think is the second coming is a tricky one. And don't fall for that first one. And I think it's going to be Oprah.
Bees! Everybody's getting bees. Yeah, I don't know. It's basically that. Jesus is coming back, etc. Whisk us through. It is the end times. It's he shows up, then the Book of Revelations is basically locked in. So we're going to have heaven versus hell in an epic battle. The souls of the saved will be whisked off to heaven. Everybody else will be left behind.
Mm.
And they'll be like, there's a devil poking me in the butt with a stick. And you'll be like, no, that's not fun. There are a number of specific dates that have been predicted for the second coming. Apparently, they predicted dates in the year 500. They predicted April 6th of 793, January 1st of 1000. It turns out people predict this thing a lot, and they have yet to be correct. Which
maybe coming up.
Let me look at the future dates listing here real quick for everybody. Just so we all know, in our lifetimes. The following dates have been predicted. June 21st, 1982, by somebody named Benjamin Cream, or Creme, I don't know. Anyway, he put advertisements in many of the world's major newspapers in early 1982, stating that the second coming would occur on Monday, June 21st, 1982, on the summer solstice. So that's cool. That didn't happen. Also, in 1988, this guy named Edward Wisenant published a book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 88. I bet that sold a lot in 89. In 1994, Harold Camping was a general manager of family radio and a Bible teacher, and he published a book titled 1994, a prediction that Christ's return was likely pointing to 1994. Jerry Falwell in 99 and 2000 predicted that the second coming would probably be within 10 years. Hedging there, Jerry. Then Ed Dobson in 2000, as well as Timothy Dwight, Edgar Cayce, and I guess Isaac Newton had predicted that it was going to happen in 2000. Still didn't happen.
That's an easy guess.
Yeah, it's a round number.
It's going to be 2000.
It's way in the distance. You're Isaac Newton. You're it's 16-something. I'm dead. Who cares? Yeah, again in 2000, in May and October of 2011, there was an end times prediction by Harold Camping. Then there was there were several more in 2011, then 2012 with, yeah. I mean, it's bonkers. Coming up, 2020, Gene Dixon, the alleged psychic, claimed that Armageddon would take place in 2020, and Jesus would return to defeat the unholy trinity of the Antichrist, Satan, and the false prophet. So we're, I guess, figuring that there will be a Trump re-election then, and that will be the situation we're in. So that's cool. She's giving a range between 2020 and 2037 is the range. So, again, hedging pretty hard. Then also 2021, 24, 25, 29, 57.
So it's who's closest without going over.
Yeah, it's a real Price is Right situation. great job. I'm going to give you both, I'm going to give you both 2 points for that. That was excellent. And Jenny, you get to pick the next topic, 1 through 9.
Seven.
Number seven. Do you have a vague idea about the Star Wars sequel trilogy? The Star Wars sequel trilogy. I'm very sorry.
I'm not even sure which part of the series you're referring to. I have to pass.
Okay. Yeah, you can pass. I mean, it's, yeah, there's not a whole lot. Shannon?
I'm with Jenny. I get confused about which ones are which. So technically the first three are kind of the sequel because prequels came out, but are we talking that the prequels are the sequels because they came out second? I get very confused. I'm going to take a guess, though, and say that the first three that came out were the sequel trilogy.
Okay.
Nope. I mean, he's giving me dead eyes. He's just like, how are we friends?
So no, I'm really not. You've both raised a very interesting conversation, which is how do you declare a series of movies where the middle three were released first? How do you decide what the sequels are and what other things are? So I'm with you. This specifically was alluding to the newest set of movies. So The Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and the upcoming The Rise of Skywalker.
Those are the sequels?
Those would be the sequel trilogy. Because you'd have the trilogy, the prequel trilogy, and then the sequel trilogy. But logic would dictate that if we operate this as a temporal line story the
which
way that it's sort
live.
Of designed. Yeah, yeah. If one were to read it from past to future, you would go, oh, well, the prequels are now the original, and the middle ones are the sequels, and the trequels? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something. The important thing is that you know what Star Wars is. And let's see.
Yeah, we definitely deserve points for knowing what Star Wars is.
Yeah,
that's a very unique set of knowledge we have there. Star Wars is a thing.
Well, you're each getting 10 points.
Yay!
Great job. Shannon, we're back to you.
For the second time tonight, I will choose number 2.
Number 2 again. It's a boom boom. Okay. Do you have a vague idea about factory seconds?
For a second, I thought it was a new game called Boom Boom. I was excited.
Well, there will be a new game called Boom Boom at some point now, but it's not right now.
My mind got distracted by the boom boom. What's the question?
Oh, yes, yes. Do you have a vague idea about factory seconds?
Factory seconds.
Yeah, factory seconds.
This is when you work in a factory and you have to clock in with a time card and they count it down to the second.
Okay, yes, it's a very fastidious factory.
And it's become a phrase that means that your time is counted very accurately. And even hospitals use it now when they do time of death. They use factory seconds because it's become such a well-known unit of time.
Call it. Well, it's 10, 24, and 17 factory seconds.
Exactly.
He's gone. Great. That was good. Mm-hmm. Jenny, factory seconds?
So I think that refers to, I don't know if it's just clothing or if it's other retail goods as well, but, like slightly defective pieces of attire that get discounted and sent to like outlets is usually where the factory seconds go. So
yeah, that's exactly correct. Yeah.
I don't know why I know that, but
I feel like we probably both did a lot of outlet mall shopping as when we were kids, because I remember that a lot from
seeing
like
advertisements like factory seconds.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah.
It's like this pair of Levi's jeans has a tiny blue spot on it that you can't notice.
Yeah, like some big name brands will have like an entire store for their factory seconds where they send all the offcasts, I think. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, yeah, you're correct. Very good. Very good.
I feel like the amount of clothes I have from TJ Maxx and Ross, I should have known that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't always label those as seconds, though, either. Yeah, sometimes they're just unsold, right?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. That's like, why I didn't know
cause
it.
Because like I remember going to the outlet mall when it opened in Castle Rock, and there were, you know, you have all these outlet stores, and a lot of them are like, hey, so this these socks are irregular, right? Like, irregular was another label that means factory second. It's basically like, hey, look, we made this, but like the name of the brand didn't get stitched in there properly, so it just says foo on it instead of, you know, FUBU, like all the socks that I used to buy.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I don't know. But yeah, yeah, it's great stuff. Jenny, 4 points. Shannon, 2 points, because I really like that story. I like the idea that people live by factory seconds. You got to count them up. Counting up them factory seconds. All right, Jenny, it's back to you. 1 through 7.
3.
Number 3. Okay, it's time to play a game.
Ooh.
We're going to play Thunderdome. Okay. This week on Thunderdome, you're going to be dealing with a battle between 2 seconds. One is Pope John Paul II, and the other is Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Okay.
So if they are pitted against each other in a battle to the death, which one of the two wins?
Oh, gosh. Wait, so the rule of this game, I just have to choose who's going to win, but... preferably with some sort of explanation.
Yeah, I mean, ideally you'll have an explanation. Sure.
That's a tough one. I feel like this is like a who would win, or is this like an ideal scenario situation?
Oh, I mean, however you construct
however
it. Yeah.
It plays out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know, I kind of want them to take each other out, so.
That's an option.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe there's some battle back and forth for a while. Yeah, I mean, I suppose the Pope is pretty nonviolent, but...
It depends on the Pope.
I feel like it's a neutral situation here. I'm not really attached to either person. So, yeah, I don't know. What else do we need to know about the death match?
Someone has to survive. Someone is going to win this thing.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll go with the Pope just to be safe.
All right.
Since
cool.
We're talking about the rapture and all.
Yeah, we did cover Jesus coming back.
Just a little here.
Okay.
It's all you, Pope John Paul II.
All right. Hey, that works. That works. Shannon?
I'm going to agree that it's the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why I think so, is that Dale Earnhardt Jr. was an actual junior. His dad was also, he's a NASCAR racer, if mm-hmm. I remember correctly, and his dad was also a NASCAR racer. So Dale Earnhardt Jr. had a little bit of an easy start.
That's fair.
He was already introduced to the right people. He
born
had somebody
in the
teaching him. Yeah, he was born in the garage. Pope John Paul II. It's not like he was born to Pope John Paul I. Like, he was just a guy who had to fight and crawl his way to the popedom, where he took on the second name.
Good point.
And I think that popes are probably pretty badass, especially in the Catholic Church. They're used to a lot of, I don't want to say anything that's going to get me.
Pederasty?
I was going to say cover-ups, and
yeah, okay.
they're a little mafia-esque in their own way. So if you're going to be the Pope, you're kind of a badass. So I'm going to go with the Pope for that reason.
That's fair. You as Pope, you are the leader of an entire city-state within Rome, right? So there's that. Also, popes have to fight the smoke monster. That's what the bishops release when they choose a pope. Is they're like, oh, hey, we got to release this smoke because the pope just killed the smoke monster from
and that's
from
why
Lost.
it changes color.
Yeah.
It also helps if you've got on your side, I suppose, in a death match. But
yeah, I would. I was imagining like, okay, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is gonna be able to like maybe run him over a couple of times, but then God's gonna be like, oh nope, your brakes don't work. Like whatever. I don't know. Convenient miracle placement is always a joker.
I've been listening to this Swedish metal band called Ghost, and I think they're like 10 years old or something like that. And for like the first 7 years, they didn't release who they actually were because they all wear costumes. And the main guy wears a Pope skeleton outfit.
Nice.
Yeah. I think since then he's had to come out and say what his real name is. But for a long time, he was just known as like Pope Emeritus or something like that. And
yeah. Okay.
And that Pope would definitely kick some ass.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like a death pope, though.
Yeah, that's true. He's a heavy metal pope.
I think
all the popes are kind of heavy metal popes, though.
You have to be, right? Because, like, I don't know. Only the current pope, like Francis, is like a chill pope. But pretty much every previous pope has been like, we have to kill a bunch of people.
Yeah.
You guys have to do this because otherwise people won't get the word of Christ, right? So kill them or convert them. Those are your choices. Get out there, kids. Get out there and do some murdering. Great job. Shannon, 3 points. Jenny, 2 points. And Shannon, we're back to you.
Number two
again. Do you have a vague idea about Second City?
Oh, yes. It is a Chicago comedy troupe theater. And it's been around for a really long time, probably since the 60s or 70s, maybe the 70s, I want to say. And a lot of people that we know now got their start at Second City. A lot of people from Saturday Night Live. I don't want to just start naming people, but I feel like a lot of the old school Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. Chevy Chase or, I don't know, Dan Aykroyd. Like,
Aykroyd is correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's kind of the... Second City is the second to New York, and it's where a lot of great comedians get their start.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Jenny, do you have anything to add?
Dang it, I actually do about that one. I'm trying to think if I have anything to add. Some people I know that were in it, Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, Steve Carell, Colbert, I believe,
mm-hmm.
started there. I knew a lot of old SNL people, but I can't name names, so... I don't think I have anything to add other than that. But
yeah. I like that you said name names like you got dirt on them. I can't name names.
I wish, but yes. yeah, I don't think I have anything else. Eh.
Okay. Yeah. The old SNL alums were so Bill Murray, Gilda Radner, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, all were there. You also had John Candy, Del Close, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, Nia Vardalos, Ryan Stiles, who we all know from the Drew Carey Show and Whose Line Is It Anyway? Mike Myers also. And then, yeah, Steve Carell, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Steve Colbert, many more people.
I was going to say, didn't there used to be a show called SCTV?
There was, yeah. And that had Rick Moranis on it.
That was awesome.
And, yeah, because that was John Candy was on that show, too. It was like competing with SNL, or it was on after.
There was a character called Ed Grimley that was hilarious. Yeah. And they turned him into a Saturday Night Live cartoon, even.
Yeah, and because he came over, Martin Short came over to SNL from SCTV, I think, at one point. And was on SNL during the dark times, like the mid-80s years. Yeah.
A lot of Canadians on that show.
It is. I mean, Chicago's so close to Canada.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
It's got to be what it is, right?
I actually just put together that SCTV was Second City TV. Growing up, I think I thought it was a Canadian show.
I mean, do you remember the show Red Green? Do you remember the Red Green show mm-hmm. that was on PBS, which was very Canadian? And I always conflated the two of those things, like... I always thought, oh, well, it's guys in a cabin with, like, the ear flap hats. Like, that's what Rick Moranis and,
Strange Brew.
Name? Yeah, Strange Brew guys. Like, that's what their characters basically were. Yep. So it was funny. Yeah. Good job. You're each going to get 3 points. And Jenny, we're back to you.
Pick number, how many numbers?
We're 1 through 6.
Okay, I was going to say 6.
Or wait, 1 through 5? 1 through 5 is what it was. So you'll get 5, which is the closest thing to 6 that there is.
Okay.
We're going to play a game called How Many Seconds? Okay. So we're going to go back and forth. There are 4 sub-questions under this. And you'll each get a shot at each one. And if you have to pass, it'll just get moved to the next person. So here we go. How many seconds in 1 hour?
3,600?
That is correct. Okay. Very good.
Sorry, that took a second.
All right. Shannon.
Yeah.
This one's for you. How many seconds as it applies to the number of kaishikunin per seppuku?
I'm sorry. Seconds in an hour? And what was this one?
The number of kaishikunin per seppuku.
Well,
you can ask for clarification on anything if you want.
Yeah, what do those words mean?
Okay, great. Yeah. A kaishikunin is a second. It's a person who is secondary to a samurai.
Okay.
Seppuku is a ritual suicide.
So how many assistant samurais in a ritual suicide?
Yes. Correct.
4.
I'm sorry, it's only one. The samurai has one second.
Yeah.
One Kaishikunin who is going to decapitate them as they disembowel themselves in a seppuku.
Oh.
So yeah, just the one. But good guess.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
A good guess would have been a right guess.
No, that's, hey, every guess is good.
Aw.
That's the right answer. Jenny, number of starting second basemen in Major League Baseball. In all of Major League Baseball, number of starting second basemen.
I'm literally going to take a guess. 60.
I mean, you're really close. That's probably the number of total second basemen. There are 30 MLB teams, and each one fields one starting second baseman, so 30 is correct. All right. Shannon, back to you.
It was a good guess.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. No, it's a great guess, because there are that many people who play second base on any baseball team. Like, yeah. Anyway. Shannon.
Yeah.
Seconds before something on the floor shouldn't be eaten.
5.
Very good.
Yeah.
Good job. You both get a point. Great job. That was how many seconds? Do-do-do-do.
Is this going to be a recurring segment or is this just a special?
No, it's just happening this time. Shannon, we're back to you,
ooh,
I think.
Number 2, please.
Yeah, 1 through 4. All right, number 2 it is. Shannon, it's time for your favorite game. It's time to play Palm ou Pomme de Terre. Each week on Palm ou Pomme de Terre, I present an object that is neither an apple nor a potato. And you have to tell me whether it's an apple or a potato.
All right. I thought we were killing this. I thought that was just a season one
well,
game.
Yeah, you want that to be the case, but it isn't yet. What is this copy of the film Office Space? Is this an apple or a potato?
This DVD.
It's a digital video
case.
Disc. Yeah, there's a disc inside.
There's actually a disc inside of
the film. It is
the
full screen edition, too.
Is it a palm or a pomme de terre?
Yeah.
It's a pomme de terre because that is the second option.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's solid. Okay. Jenny is... I think this is yours, actually.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I was literally just thinking about this movie this morning and how I kind of wanted to watch it.
Oh, well, good. I brought it out and you can take it home.
Tough. I'm going to say apple because I could almost eat apples all the time. I never get sick of them. And I could watch this movie all the time and pretty much never get sick of it. So
that's great.
That's what I'm going with.
Very good. How many pieces of flair do you think is appropriate?
For what? What are we talking?
The correct answer is I don't really like to talk about my flair.
That is true.
Great job. You're both getting 5 points. That was excellent. All right. And Jenny, we're back to you. 1, 2, or 3. We're moving very fast, guys. So. Feel free to pad this out as much as you'd like to.
3.
Number 3. Okay. All right. We're going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill. For Fuck, Marry, Kill this week, your choices for both of you are Bernard Arnault, who is the second richest person in the world, the country of Denmark, which is the second happiest country in the world, and the film The Godfather, which is the second best film according to IMDb. Who are you? Which are you going to fuck? Which will you marry and which will you kill? Jenny.
Wait, you're going to remind me of all three. So The Godfather.
Yeah, so Godfather, The Country of Denmark, and Bernard Arnault, who is the second richest person. And I can get you some details on Bernard real quick here.
Yeah, I'm going to need some specifics.
Bernard Jean-Étienne Arnault, born March 5th, 1949, is a French billionaire business magnate and art collector. He is the chairman and chief executive of LVMH Moet Hennessy, Louis Vuitton, the world's largest luxury goods company. He's also the richest person in Europe and the second richest person in the world, according to Forbes, worth $108 billion as of July 2019.
Can I just do all three things with that guy?
I mean, yeah. You
lure him in one way, marry him, kill him, and then take over the empire. Shoot, this is hard. Okay. I really like the happy people in Denmark, too. Let's marry those. Let's marry Denmark.
You're going to marry Denmark? Okay.
Be responsible.
All right.
That other guy can be the fuckboy.
Okay.
And then kill
You're going to kill the Godfather?
Yeah, it's overrated. It's okay.
Okay. All right. The film The Godfather is out. Godfather Part 2,
we'll
you're
still have
slipping
The Godfather
up.
2.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Okay. Shannon?
I am also going to marry Denmark because happiness.
Like, yeah.
You got to go for that.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you're gonna be in the thing for a long time. Yeah. You wanna have a long happy marriage, not just like, oh, we have money, but we hate each other.
Yeah.
Or, oh God, I gotta watch this scene again.
Yeah.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli. I get it.
I'm trying to remember what is Denmark known for? That's not the windmills.
No, yeah, that's the Netherlands.
What's Denmark? What's Denmark's thing?
Denmark has, Denmark's Hamlet. Something's rotten in the state of Denmark.
No, that doesn't sound happy.
chocolate, I think, is the thing there.
Yeah, they could be. They could be chocolate.
What's the capital of Denmark?
Oh, yeah.
Good question.
Copenhagen.
Oh,
not bad.
That sounds fun.
You've also got the iconic Little Mermaid statue, because Hans Christian Andersen was from there. So that's kind of fun. Let's see.
What makes these people so happy?
That's what I was just wondering. They're not telling us.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they've got a temperate climate. It's around, at its coldest, it's 34 degrees Fahrenheit. And at its hottest, it's about 63.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do think, I might be changing my mind, though. I want to know why they're happy. Because what if they're happy because they, like, periodically, like, purge? Like, I may not want to be a part of that. Turns out Denmark's got the purge.
Hey, Denmark, if you're listening, you can be on the show.
They're just waiting for the second coming. They're just hanging out.
Did you see that thing, though, that they found a house? Where did they find that house? Shit. Okay. This is a really interesting news thing. Okay. So I saw this today on the BBC. This is a Dutch family. So in the Netherlands, near Denmark, there was a family of seven who had just been living in a farmhouse basement for who knows how long, waiting for the end of time. They arrested the father because he was like 57 or whatever.
Yeah, that sounds like a scary family cult.
It's like, what was that? Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane or whatever. That whole plot.
The one with
of
John
that.
Goodman?
Yeah. It's pretty much that, but in the Netherlands. So that's kind of wild. Yeah. I'm looking for reasons why. Okay, so there's a World Happiness Report. And the World Happiness Report assesses all sorts of things.
Probably good healthcare situation there.
Yeah, you're gonna have healthcare, you're gonna have
is that one of the countries where they actually like pay teachers really well and like value education maybe?
Yeah, you got a lot of family leave, you've got a lot of vacation time, it's a small country. I don't know. I think they're probably just happy because they're happy. I don't think there's a purge involved.
Well, you know, sometimes I'm thinking happy people are also like not the sharpest tools in the shed. So maybe I might get sick of Denmark after a while and I'd be like, why are you so happy? Look at the rest of the world, Denmark.
Yeah.
You're living in your own little
shit show.
Denmark.
Like, how are you
bubble.
Guys so chipper about this?
Yeah, I'm changing my mind. I'm gonna kill Denmark.
Oh, shit. Oh, jeez.
There because they don't have they're not sharing the secret to happiness
right.
with the rest of us.
I'm kind of pissed at Denmark now.
Oh man, and they're only the second happiest. Yeah. In fairness, they're not
Who's
the
happiest.
I think it's Sweden or something. Let me look. Okay. Happiest right. country.
Do you think they feel unhappy about the fact that they're only the second happiest country though?
Finland is the happiest country.
Wow.
Yeah. Followed by Denmark, then Norway, Iceland, the Netherlands, Switzerland, Sweden, New Zealand. Those are your happy countries.
Hmm. Yeah.
For the most part, they're all right together, except for New Zealand.
Yeah, What's New Zealand's way over here. And then it's pretty much all like Northern European frost colonies.
Now I'm worried that I said that I was going to kill a whole country, though, and I'm not comfortable with that.
You don't want to advocate for genocide on the podcast?
Yeah, there's a whole dictator thing happening there. I'm not feeling it. So now I'm going to go back to marrying them.
Okay. Oh, well,
I hope
hey.
They're not mad at me for killing them.
I feel like you guys just had your first fight, and that's normal. You're gonna enter into a marriage. It's okay to. It's okay to fight. You should die. Why are you so happy?
It's gonna be a rocky marriage.
I mean, we've had that argument before, right? Right?
We?
Yeah, where you're like, "Why are you so happy?" And I'm like, "Ah!" And then we have to fight to the death. It was great. I mean, this is how every marriage goes. It's fun.
All right. On that note, I will kill the rich guy
Okay.
Because rich people, especially 108 billion.
Eat the rich.
Eat the rich.
Eat the rich.
Maybe some of it will get redistributed and help out. Trickle down economics.
Yeah.
Killing theory.
Trickles the best is blood.
And then I'm going to fuck Godfather 2 because it's a sexy movie.
Okay. All right. Great. Yeah. So which part of The Godfather are you going to fuck specifically? Are we talking like the wedding scene?
Italy.
We're talking. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Italy's too, right?
With Apollonia in the middle part. Yeah. 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 Okay. Cool. Great.
Before she blows up.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for 1973's The Godfather. Or 72. I don't remember. Anyway.
I can't be spoiled if I killed it, right?
It's fair. It's dead. Jenny's killed it, so it's gone. It no longer exists. Yeah. What, father?
Do you mean The Godfather 2? I love that movie.
Yeah, that one's great. What a great guy. Oh, God. Okay. Excellent. You're both going to get, let's see. I feel like 7 points. 7 points is what that was worth. Well done. Good. Okay. And I think Shannon.
Number two.
You keep picking number two.
That's the theme.
It's an interesting trend. It's an interesting trend.
It's the theme of the show. I'm getting involved in my own way.
Do you have a vague idea, Shannon, about second generation gender bias?
Oh, my goodness. Second generation gender bias.
Yeah. Second generation gender bias.
I don't. And I feel that making something up would probably be pretty disrespectful. So I'm just going to pass.
Oh, make something up.
No.
No? You don't want to do that? All right. You don't have to.
It's a hot topic, I bet.
Hot.
Hot take.
Jenny? Yeah. Second generation gender bias?
I don't think I even have a good guess. I'm going to.
Okay.
Yes, as well.
Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the definition and I'm going to task you to come up with an example because I'm certain that both of you have experienced it in your lives.
Okay.
Okay.
You're certain?
I'm pretty certain. I don't think it's
then
a huge
stretch.
It's not
what stretch. I thought it was, so that's good.
what did you think it was?
Well, I thought it might have to do with like in certain countries where boy children are
kept, like
girl
inheritance.
Children are not.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. 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 Which that like a firstborn sort of thing. Like if you have a firstborn male, he inherits property or whatever else, but the girls do not, like what China did with killing female babies.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking. It was going to be like when parents that try to raise their kids without gender bias, their kids end up like becoming even more like
passing it on to the second generation.
Oh, that would interesting. Make sense too. Okay, okay.
Like on Family Ties, how the parents were hippies and the kid was like Michael J. Fox was like a big Reaganite.
Republican.
Yeah, like that.
It's like I don't need this hippie crap.
Like the parents would be like, oh, we're trying to eliminate gender bias, so we're not gonna like. We're going to buy you green clothes and not pink and blue. And the kid would be like, no, I want blue. Screw you.
Yeah. And then they're just like dressing all of their friends in clothing and tying them up in a basement. Yeah. What could go wrong there?
All right.
Okay. Second generation gender bias refers to practices that may appear neutral or non-sexist in that they apply to everyone, but which discriminate against women because they reflect the values of the men who created or developed the setting, usually in a workplace. It is contrasted with first-generation bias, which is deliberate, usually involving intentional exclusion. An example of second-generation gender bias is that leaders are expected to be assertive, so that women who act in a more collaborative fashion are not viewed as leaders, but women who act assertively are often perceived as too aggressive. This kind of bias or gender stereotyping can be entirely unconscious.
I mean, I have so many. I
figured you would both have a shitload of these, and that's sort of the thing, right?
I'm sure I do, too. I would have to think. Maybe if you give an example, it'll jog my memory.
Let's see if I can find another one.
Okay, let me give one, and you can tell me if it fits or not. Recently, I spent all of 2018 as a lead on a project, and I had a male team member, a man team member, and
man team.
I'm trying to be conscious of not female and male,
yeah.
Man and woman. Yeah. So I had a teammate that was a man, and we had to learn a lot of stuff for the project we were building that was new to the company even. And recently, somebody asked in our public Slack forum if anybody knew this technology, and somebody piped in and they gave the man's name as an example of someone they should go talk to. And this was a project I had been the lead on. So we both learned it. I was the lead, but when asked who should get, who should be the explainer, who was the expert,
right?
He was the one whose name was thrown out.
Yeah. So you were passed over for having the authority of knowledge.
I don't know if that counts.
No, I think it does. I think that's what this is trying to say, is like, even because the essence here is people are trying to say, hey, everybody can play. But then they're also saying, but you don't do the things the way that we want you to do them. So you're not actually playing. And that's the issue, right? It's like, it's my best example is many of the non-policy based criticisms of Hillary Clinton during the candidacy in 2016, right? Like, people could be like, oh, hey, she supported all these things. She's flip-flop about stuff. That's fine. That's all policy-based. But when you talk about, like, oh, she's too cold. She needs to be warmer. She doesn't smile enough. All these things. And then also going back and being like, well, you know, Trump's health claim. Shit like that, where it's just like you're finding any way to say that this person, despite the fact that they are allowed to play, is unqualified anyway. Yes. Do you have anything, Jenny?
Still don't have a good example, but I know.
It's, I mean, it, yeah.
Oh, here's another one. This one hasn't happened to me specifically, but I'm on a panel at work about how to make job performances more equitable across the board, because a lot of women that I work with get performance reviews where they're told that they're not being helpful enough because they're not doing things like taking notes and stuff like that. And these are engineers, so they shouldn't be expected to do that. Or like they're not being nice enough. And like, the men on the team don't get notes like you're not being nice enough, like that sort of
thing.
Yeah. So it's like there's qualities that managers can have, like these kind of unconscious biases of how a woman should act, and get dinged on a job performance if they're not acting in that way, even though that way might not have anything to do with their job performance.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that sums it up really well. Cause it comes back to, I think of, Peggy on Mad Men, right? Totally qualified. And granted, that's a scenario in that show, which you didn't really watch.
Mm-mm.
But in that show, like, there isn't really an opening for a woman to become a creative in an ad agency in the early 60s. But she definitely can do all those things, but she's still sort of getting pushed around by people and kind of been, you know, well, you must be the secretary because you're here, right? And it's that thing, right? It's that, I think that's what this is alluding to, is it's that second generation thing where it's like, yeah, we're all equal, but I kind of expect out of anybody in the room that, well, you're going to go get the coffee, right? Because I'm not going to go get the coffee.
Right.
And that's the fucked up shit. But yeah, I think it's just interesting that it has such a complicated name when it's just like, just stop being dicks.
Confusing, yeah.
Yeah, it's like just stop being dicks.
Yeah, it just sounds like gender bias. I don't know why it's second generation. Like, I guess it's first generation when it's more blatant.
Yeah, because first generation is when you're like, oh, you know, dames with their gams can't be in the office, etc. I don't know.
Because it's been coming up, maybe this isn't an example either, but like with, I think Elizabeth Warren recently with her story about being pregnant in the past, like I think people have been talking about that a lot more, how people say, oh, well, there's not a thing now, like you can't discriminate against pregnant women, but then these women have their babies and they're like, oh, suddenly there's just not a job for you. And
oh yeah,
so the playing field appears level, but suddenly when there's a complicating factor, there's
right
not room to accommodate.
And of course, to remind all of us, because everybody needs reminding, but the playing field is as level as 77% is to 100%, which is just super fucked.
Right.
So
I have lots of stories about that.
Yeah. Well, and do you want to tell?
No.
Okay. All right.
It's funny because I was actually having this conversation with one of my managers recently that I guess what would be considered the first generation, which I've experienced as well. I had a job for a while where it was kind of the norm for other developers to draw pictures of penises on Post-its and hide them on your desk. And it was...
yeah,
pretty like blatant, like, well, I don't even know if that was sexist as much as just like working with 12-year-olds. But
yeah, I mean, there's a certain level where it's like, that's just extraordinarily juvenile, and it's really inappropriate because it's like, what are you doing in this
But it was also like not too bad because you could point to it and say, this is a thing you are doing that is bad because of this reason, so please stop it. Whereas like the example I gave earlier of the man on my team being called out instead of me, it's bad not only because of the gender bias, but also in addition to the gender bias, it makes me have to go through the emotional work of trying to figure out if there even is gender bias.
Yeah.
Or so like I have to sit there for 20 minutes and say, did he not recommend me because he doesn't think I'm very good? Did he not recommend me because he just doesn't like me as a person? And like it brings all this self-doubt that makes me have to like question my performance that has and then I have to think, well, maybe it was because of the gender bias, but maybe it's not. And like you have like this ambiguity that makes you end up questioning yourself in a way that is very detrimental to your like self-confidence even. Totally. So I almost prefer the first generation because at least you can point at something and be like, you're a dick.
Right.
Whereas the second generation, right. It's like, are you a dick or am I?
Totally. Yeah. No, I think that's totally true. It's like it's way more subversively dangerous because it is predicated on like the unsaid. It's not – nothing's overt. And when things are subvert, well, then it depends on interpretation. Or at least someone can say, well, you interpreted it that way, right? Which I know is something that women get a lot. I think it's a huge issue to put someone in that position, to basically gaslight them like, oh, hey, I'm not saying that you aren't qualified, but I am going to do everything I can to – make sure that the other person is treated as though they're qualified.
But I mean, it's also not unheard of that maybe that the other guy was recommended because he really is like the nicest guy at the office. So maybe that's why he was recommended.
Oh, sure.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you do have to like, it's not always gender bias, but sometimes it is. But how do you know if it is? And how do you know if it's you or if it's the other person? And yeah, sometimes it's gaslighting. Sometimes it's just maybe you're a dick to people and they don't want to recommend you for helping other people, or maybe you think you're good and you're really terrible, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the girl who like discovered the code for like seeing the black hole recently.
Oh, yeah.
And how people just like didn't want to believe that it was a woman who led the team, and they were all these like, I think like Reddit people coming out of the woodwork to make sure that like the male people on the team were getting more of the credit, and we weren't just trying to assign all of the credit to this one woman, even though she was technically the team lead. That's what it reminds me of. Like,
yeah, because I remember that exact thing. There was like a lot of kind of red pillars who were saying like, hey, this. They were circling the photo of her pointing at the computer screen with the algorithm that she had done, and they're like circling the dude in the background and being like, he's actually the one who did it.
They were so quick,
and
to
it's
just
such
not one of them.
Yeah, and it was really good that the main, if I remember correctly, the guy on her team was like, no, she was integral.
Exactly.
We couldn't have done it without her. So, I mean, that's really where the allyship comes in, and making sure that if you do see women in your workplace being treated like that, that you know, if somebody points to you and says, this is the guy you should talk to, say, no, you could talk to either one of us. We're both qualified, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, that's a good lesson for men because it's something, you know, I think we all, I can only speak for myself, which is to some extent, like, I enjoy recognition and I enjoy feeling like I'm recognized for doing something well. But there are also times, like, but we also really have to be, you know, there's no reason not to share what we're doing, especially when that's accurate. Like, I don't know that I've been in a position because I've pretty much only worked in very small teams where I'm one of three people total. So I don't have like a lot of corporate background. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we all have to say who actually does stuff and not downplay things because there's a level of competition within our culture that sort of prescribes that on us. But it's really toxic and bad. Like, there's no reason to come out on top if you're going to crap on everybody else. Like, why bother? Hear that, Bernard Arnault, second richest man in the world? great job. Thank you both. 3 points each for that one. And let's see. Jenny, are we back? Wait, Shannon? Jenny? Shannon? Jenny?
Yeah,
Shannon?
That was, I was first.
Okay, Jenny.
Sounds right.
Would you like the last topic?
Sure.
Which is also the first topic.
Yes.
But also it could be the second topic in a way.
I'll in
the,
what
the last is the second to
second
the first.
Second to none.
Second to none. Okay. Do you have a vague idea about Second Life? You do. That was a very disappointed sigh.
It's some kind of video game. I think that's all I know.
Okay.
Or is it a horror movie?
No, it's a...
both. It's both.
You're acting like I'm trying to set you up. No, it is. Yeah, it is a video game. You're correct.
I don't know anything beyond that, so I apologize.
Oh, no, that's good. That's good. Okay. Shannon?
I think that it is kind of like the name describes, like it's a second world that's very similar to ours, but you can design whoever you want to be in it. And some people will design themselves as like, in my second life, I'm an awesome DJ and I go party every night and I can fly. And some people are like, in my second world, I am also an engineer. But
I forgot about that. I know what you're talking about now. That totally jogged my memory. Okay.
Everything I know about it is from, there was an episode of Law & Order SVU where the girl got kidnapped because her character in second life looked like a kid that a pedophile had fallen in love with or something like that.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, because it was like a Second Life thing where she was like a stripper in a Second Life dance.
She was like a little kid thing. Stripper or something, though, and it was kind of creepy. You
know, yeah, and I'm sure Stabler broke some skulls.
Yeah. So is it more like a virtual reality thing or is it a video game?
No, I mean, it is a video game. It's a massively multiplayer online game. So it is more like on the edge of like Sims meets World of Warcraft or something where it's
just
huge...
really big Sims, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really just really big Sims. I mean, there's not like Warcrafty things happening.
Yeah,
but...
you're not like fighting. I think there was an episode of The Office too where Dwight... it was like his exact same life, except that like he had a nicer suit or something like that.
You get like an avatar. Like I think I remember reading an article once. Maybe this was a different game, but like people were meeting basically like people in the game and then like cheating on their significant others with their like second life relationship. Like maybe that's a thing that I'm confusing with.
Oh no, I'm pretty sure people got married in Second Life, where they married people that they've never met in human world.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, you know.
Is it still around?
It is. Wow. It's amazing.
It seems like a very like early 2000s kind of thing.
Yeah.
It is a very early 2000s kind of thing and a very now thing. It's an online virtual world developed and owned by the San Francisco-based firm Linden Lab. It launched June 23rd of 2003. By 2013, it had approximately 1 million regular users. And in 2017, it had between 800 and 900,000. So it hasn't dipped incredibly. It's pretty much like an MMO role-playing game, but there's absolutely no objective or manufactured conflict. So you're not going to fight anything. You're not going to do anything. You basically just decide what to do with your life. Which, hey, if you want to do that twice, more power to you, I guess. One life is quite enough for me most of the time.
I remember playing The Sims right after college, and I got my first job, and I was in a new city, and I didn't know very many people.
Your first real job or Sims job?
My first real job.
Okay.
And I would come home after work and play The Sims, and I would have to cook dinner for my Sim and study. My Sim would have to study so that they could get a job, or like a raise at work. And I was like, I'm leading the most boring life, and then I'm coming home, and I'm leading a fake boring life. Like, why am I doing this?
Well, you were big on The Sims too, right, Jenny?
I was too, college.
Well, because I bought you, what did I get? I got you Sims 4 or something?
I think Sims 3, yeah.
Sims 3, yeah.
But it's become a much more complicated game. But yeah, throwback to last episode when I talked about my virtual pet. I also loved virtual people for a time.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with enjoying playing God. Like, I think that's the cool thing about any of the Sim-based games. Like, I loved SimCity. Which is just a game where you like you zone areas and you watch buildings and people come and go and deal with traffic and stuff. Like,
yeah, like I just like decorate their houses. Like it's basically like Barbies for adults.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's a vicarious sort of fantasy too. He's like, oh well, if I could buy a 4-story house and fill it with all sorts of stuff from a catalog, like this is what I would do, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, you like build your people, and then one is like the person that you. Like at that time, and then you get to act out like whatever relationship that you wish you were having with this person.
I would always be like way too much. I'd be like, talk again. And the person would be like, leave me alone. And I'd be like, oh,
flirt.
And they'd be like, no. And I'd be like, oh.
Then you're in the hot tub.
No, my person would always like leave and be like, you're flirting with me too much. This is awkward. And I'd be like, oh, it's just like real life.
Flirt with other people's like significant others and then get slapped.
Oh, yeah.
It's good drama.
Yeah, and I remember and this is pretty common, but like you could get somebody to like swim in the swimming pool or whatever, mm-hmm. and then you could delete the ladder from the pool and just let them drown too.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that some people did.
I never did
that. I did. I did. And you could also build a tiny room around them with no door and put a bunch of clown paintings up, and they would go crazy and pee all over themselves a lot.
That's been spoilers for Joaquin Phoenix's Joker out in theaters now.
That's what
the
I
whole
did.
Movie is just Shannon putting a tiny room around a person with clown posters until they pee themselves. It's a really powerful origin story.
Some of us are benevolent gods. Some of us are not.
I think that's a really interesting. And I'm sure there have been studies done about this, but I would love to do a non-weighted survey to just find out like how many people play games and choose to be the bad guy, and how many people play games and choose to be the good guy, and what the rationale is.
Hmm.
I mean, for the most part, my guess would be that people play games and are the bad guy because it's more fun. You're being more free. You're doing whatever you want, right? And there's a sort of like, oh, it's just anarchy, this is liberating because I'm doing whatever. I always find myself doing the right things, even in games where I could easily do the wrong thing, which is weird.
I didn't become an evil god until I got really bored. But it took months. I had months of good, happy Sims that were like loving and. The kid had a hamster and everybody was happy, and then the hamster bit the kid and the kid died, and that's when I started killing off all the rest of the
Sims. Oh my god, a hamster related
Hamster related death, yeah.
Jeez.
I think it was like a cheat code hamster that I think was like somebody had planted it specifically to kill Sims kids.
Oh god. That's funny.
So the kid would get the hamster out and it would go, and then you'd get bitten and the kid died.
Like immediate death?
Like pretty much as soon as he got it.
Whoa. Wow. I'm kind of into that. That's kind of fun.
And it's making me want to play some Sims now.
I'm pretty sure Sims is, or at least it was just on sale on the PlayStation Store, so I could buy it for you if you'd want to try it. I'm sure it does.
You can get it on Steam, I bet.
Yeah, yeah. We'll figure it out. I'll find a way for you to get Simming again if you want to.
My hands need to.
It's. I mean, we both have so much free time. We certainly should create an entire secondary existence.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Second Life is still going. It's kind of a huge thing. Let's see. So in 2015 alone, Second Life users had cashed out approximately $60 million, and Second Life had an estimated $500 million GDP. Which is higher than some small countries.
Damn. Is that just buying like clothes and stuff?
Yeah,
it's
just people buying clothes and shit and like, I want fancier windows or whatever. So that's cool. I never got into that kind of stuff. Like, I played some MMOs for a little while, but they're just very involved in taxing. And it was a great thing when I was in my like teens and early 20s when I had a lot of time and I didn't really care about anything, but I couldn't imagine doing it now. It seems so involved.
Mm-mm.
And granted, like, I play a fair amount of video games, though I've been on a downturn
now
lately.
I just binge 12 hours of Netflix in a row, and that's much better use of time.
Yeah, well, because, you know, you can do laundry while you're doing that instead of doing virtual laundry. So much virtual laundry. All right, great job. I'm going to give you both 5 points for Second Life. And yeah, that's the end of the first episode of season 2 of A Vague Idea.
Yay.
I need to add up the scores real fast, so you guys should continue to talk about virtual items or whatever you want. You can talk about the pervasive misogyny of the business sector if you'd like to as well, too. I'm cool with everything.
I'm trying to remember more Sims interactions. I liked when they talked to each other because it was always like...
Random Wazoo? Words in it. I remember there was like an expansion pack that had like aliens. Like it kind of went off. Like it jumped the shark a little towards the end with Sims. Like, yeah, they kept coming out with all the expansion packs. We could like take them on dates, or like I think there was an entire one with just pets that you could like have, or you could take them on vacation. I never did any of these. I was not that fancy.
Wow. But. Yeah, I had quit by then. I think I only ever played the first version of it.
Yeah. think I played the first and the second, but then it was much easier to play on a computer than on some of the other. Like, I don't think I liked playing it on a PlayStation.
Yeah, I don't know how it would work on a PlayStation, honestly.
It'd just be a lot more tedious.
The point and click thing with the mouse is kind of the driver. It would be a little clunky, for sure.
Yeah, like, I wonder if there's a phone. I bet there's a phone version of it.
I think there is.
There's got to be, right? Like, there's a phone SimCity that I played for a long time and just recently deleted from my phone. But, yeah, there are a lot of options.
I get what you're saying, though, because I have had to delete so many apps from my phone because otherwise I'll sit there and play with it all night and then my wrists will hurt when I go to work the next day, which in both of our careers, we can't afford that.
Right,
yeah.
No,
it does not.
That's also why I don't do Duolingo on the phone anymore and things like that. Not fun, but.
Yeah, hear that, Apple and various companies. You need to come up with a hands-free interface that works really well. And not Google Glass, guys. Come on. Yeah, it's weird. It's nobody wants to, like, look up and left all the time when they want to close a window. That's creepy. Great job. I've got the scores.
Woo-hoo.
Scores are tabulated. Guys, are you ready? You ready to hear your scores? Okay. Jenny, you've won with 42 points.
Yay!
Shannon, you had 41 points.
Oh, so close.
It really all hinged on the third question that we discussed, which was whatever that was. I think factory seconds was the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Great job, Jenny. What, do you have anything you'd like to plug? Anything you want to talk about as winner of episode one of season two of A Vague Idea?
I'm excited from tie to losing to finally winning. It's been a journey.
Yeah. Oh, you've collected each of the possible options.
I didn't think
so
this
far.
Moment was ever coming, so I didn't prepare anything. No. I'm excited for season two and. Congrats on the first year. I don't really have anything to plug, but
okay. Well, I mean, I'll plug your business because it's an excellent business. I plugged it at the top of the show, but and you can't get an appointment, guys. It's super exclusive.
That's why
but
I'm not plugging it.
But iHeartSkinDenver.com is an excellent skincare business in Denver that you should try to book an appointment with sometime in 2020 because they're going to be available.
IHEARTSKIN. Not
but don't
emoji.
Spell the word I out.
No.
Just the letter I.
Letter I. Yeah. But no emojis are involved in this.
Yeah, there's no emojis in the URL.
And it's not I love skin.
It's
really
not I love skin. It's I heart skin. I heart
really
skin.
Bugs me.
So yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Shannon, do you have anything that you would like to plug?
I would like to thank Steno.
Hell yes.
For letting us record our podcast here, for providing us with microphones and mixers and all the things that make us sound way better than the first couple episodes where we were in the basement of a restaurant that will go unnamed because they didn't want us to be there.
And because we named it in every other episode previous to this one. So if you haven't paid attention, it doesn't matter.
But yeah, Steno, it's a co-working space in Denver, Colorado. You should... Steno.com.
Stenodenver.com.
Stenodenver.com.
Yeah, you should check it out. If you need a co-working space here, they've got great open desk options as well as some private offices and some dedicated desks. So if you just want to leave all your rig here, you can do that for a little more money. Stenodenver.com.
They might even let you record a podcast here if you need to do that.
Yeah. You can be part of the Vague Idea Network. Yeah. So hey, guys, thank you. Thank you for being on, Jenny.
Thank you.
I'll see you at home.
Sounds good.
and Shannon, thank you for coming back for season two. I know that the contract negotiations were pretty tense there for a little bit, but
well,
we got everything.
I haven't signed yet.
I know, but like I feel like the offer's pretty strong, so hopefully we'll keep you on board.
It's a Mercury retrograde coming up. You better do that before it gets dicey.
You're the only woman we've got on the show. We have to keep you. Yeah, but yeah, listeners, thank you so much for listening to this show. It's been a real joy. You probably just listened to the anniversary show, which was just beautiful chaos. And here you are back in the saddle. So we appreciate you very much. If you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts is what it's called now. Google, etc. All those places. We're on Stitcher and Spotify as well. And you can follow us on social media at A Vague Idea Podcast on Instagram or at A Vague Idea Pod on Twitter. I keep tweeting even though no one ever tweets back. It could be you, but not you if you're creepy. Please, just not. Don't be creepy. But if you're otherwise not creepy, that's great. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. This has been A Vague Idea, Season 1, Episode 2, Electric Boogaloo. No. Wait, season two, nope. episode nope. one. yeah, yeah.
Try it again. Try it again.
From the top. This has been a vague idea. Season two, episode one, Electric Boogaloo. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah, and that thing that I say about live your lives but trying to make the world bars. Okay, bye again.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and John Perros. If you like this podcast and you like anime, you should check out my podcast with Sean Grolkowski called You Better Believe This. That's found at moleholeradio.com. If you like science fiction books, you should check out the press that Sean and I started. It's called Space Boy Books, and you can find us at readspaceboy.com.